Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Show served up hot and fresh live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Leroy Butler, and now this guy. He is the deputy athletic director up at UW-Madison, Chris McIntosh, a former Badger and NFL offensive lineman. Chris, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Glad to be here.
So things have been kind of hectic and crazy for you, I would imagine, here over the last couple of months. We talked a little while back about this whole process. So what swayed, the Big Ten to have the decision to play, as quickly as you decided to play?
Yeah, I think, you know, it hasn't exactly been a sleepy summer.
I can't imagine, no.
I think the biggest factor that came about and developed is, you know, there were answers to questions that we didn't have answers back in August. The availability of rapid turnaround testing, which plays a role in answering one of the other concerns, and that was about contact tracing. And then there's been time given to study the subject of myocarditis, which was an issue that was front and center in August, and rightfully had, you know, huge concerns tied to it. And when I say, you know, concerns tied to it, the unknown of it. And since then, the league has had time to consult, experts in those fields. And frankly, there have been developments around an advancement in testing that allow us to feel pretty confident about a plan going forward. And we're excited about it. Our student athletes are pumped about it. They're thrilled, obviously. I feel for them. They've been on an emotional roller coaster as well, and it was nice to be able to deliver to them some exciting and positive news.
Chris, can you talk a little bit about the built-in stuff that you guys have? You know, I think you have a 21-day suspension for players testing positive, and then you don't have a bye week at all. And is there like a 5% positivity rate for 7 days or something like that? What are the specifics in that?
Yeah, you know, the Dr. Borchardt at Ohio State, Barry has said this publicly, and I think it's deserving. You know, he deserves a lot of credit for being able to bring forth a plan that gave our presidents and chancellors a lot of confidence going forward. And, you know, Gary, you talked about some of the parameters of the guardrails around the plan.
Right.
You know, for instance, if a player tests positive for COVID, it'll be a minimum of 21 days before they're eligible to compete again.
Okay.
That allows for them to isolate like everybody else has been doing that has tested positive. In athletics, in the community. And then it allows for a period of time for them to be evaluated for some of these other conditions. And there's a strict protocol and guidelines around ensuring that they are indeed healthy and it's safe for them to go back. There's specifically protocol built in around the concerns around the heart. And so those athletes will have a MRI of their heart and a EKG, and there's a pretty strict protocol what they'll have to go through before they're cleared to play.
Let me just say this, Chris. I was recruited by a lot of schools to come to Wisconsin, right? And Wisconsin was like, I mean, Georgia, Florida, Miami, Michigan, Ohio State.
But think of the coaches that were recruiting you back then. Legendary Hall of Fame coaches.
Right.
Yeah, so how did you get to Wisconsin? Never mind.
Let's go ahead, Gary. I'm going to say this. I had the most fun at Wisconsin is the reason why I came to Wisconsin. So here's my question.
You never called me a homer.
Are you concerned about at all, though, the student body? Because, if you look at our program versus a lot of other conferences, we don't have a dorm room, so to speak. We don't have an athletic dorm room. I mean, we live with all the other students that go to school there. I mean, so are we concerned at all about, I guess it would be outside stuff, which being the regular student body?
I mean, I think we're concerned, and our emphasis has been on our student athletes making intelligent decisions and responsible decisions about what they do when they go out in the community and when they're on campus. And, the chancellor has been encouraging the general student body to do the same. Are there concerns? Sure, there have been, and there will continue to be concerns about that. But I think, our student athletes have been motivated to play, and it's tangible now. They can see it. We're going to have a schedule soon. We're going to get started soon. And I think they'll do just fine in mitigating that risk. And I think they'll do just fine making great decisions to take care of themselves. And they'll give them a chance to participate in a season that they've, been wishing for a long time.
I think Gary wants to tell you to tell the player don't date until after 2021. Chris, I want to ask you a question that needs to be asked because it was just so much polarizing over this decision. Can you assure the parents or everybody, if you don't know the answer to this, that's fine. Do you know for sure there was no politics involved in coming back to play? It was all based on science and doctors and things of that nature, because I thought the statement that Barry Alvarez released, I thought he was right on point with his statement. I agree with it. But did politics play anything on this? Was any pressure there?
Yeah, that's a good question, Leroy. By the way, before I answer it, I just want to take a moment to congratulate you on the nomination to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
That's
huge. That's a great question. I can only speak to the dynamics on our campus in our relationship with our chancellor, Chancellor Blank. And it's no secret that our chancellor she's an economist, and she is driven by data in making her decisions. And she felt comfortable upon having, received and listened to Dr. Borchert's presentation, which is filled with data. She felt comfortable voting in favor of this. And I'd only be speculating about the motivation of other chancellors and presidents around the league.
Great answer.
Thanks.
Talking with Chris McIntosh, Deputy Athletic Director at UW-Madison here on the Wendy's Big Show. This quarantine thing of 21 days or whatever the case may be, is there a line drawn in the sand as far as, hey, if we lose a position or whatever the case may be, then essentially does that team not play and forfeit that week? Like if all of a sudden you're short on corners or running backs and you don't have enough guys to go out there and play, would that team then forfeit until they're able to get back up to where they have to be health-wise?
Yeah, the parameters are drawn up such that they're based on positivity rates of the team. And so, you may have seen, less than 2%, 2 to 5%, over 5% as the guidelines around that. Now, I mean, you bring up a good point. If a particular position group is affected,
like
more
quarterback
than others, yeah,
quarterback would be another one. Yeah.
There's not a lot of those to go around, is there?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reality here is, you know, this entire model, this entire season is highly dependent upon everyone around the program, mm-hmm. and to Gary's earlier question, around the university making good decisions and complying with it. We've learned, you know, over the last few months how fragile the system and the seasons are, and whether it's our athletes themselves making decisions, or our coaches or support staff, or the other employees and staff in our department that are here to support our student athletes, we are down to, I mean, it's a very vulnerable situation. There's a lot of exposure down to the individual. We need a lot of individuals to make great decisions, and we're not alone in that. I mean, that's a microcosm of our community right now.
Well, let me ask you this, because the SEC and the ACC are already up and going. They said they were playing. Did you guys look at what they were doing as far as a guideline, or it didn't matter? Or what we're doing, is it better than what they're doing, or the same?
Gary, I don't know that it's better or worse. I know that there have been advancements and developments in what we'll have at our disposal when our season will start that didn't exist in August.
And correct.
I know that they're trying to take advantage of what's being made available as well. And they've had a little bit of a different path in getting to the same point or a similar point. But I do think, you know, everybody's been well-intentioned in trying to do everything we can to make sure that the game can be played and that it can be played safely. And, you know, the fact is, for the Big Ten, there just weren't answers to the questions that we needed to have answers to. And I will say the availability testing and rapid turnaround testing has been, you know, if it's not, it's close to being the linchpin of our ability to move forward.
Now, and I understand no fans, but thoughts on maybe having fans, is that in the plans at all?
We will not have the general public at our games at Camp Randall. It's our intent to have the parents and the families of the players in the stadium. Seems like that's an absolute must. But otherwise, it'll be a relatively empty stadium.
So previously, before all this got going, Barry had talked about a $100 million loss if there was no football, and how it would affect universities. And then after that, when it didn't look like there was going to be football in the fall, he had mentioned that they were going to try and do everything that they could not to have to cut programs. You've seen other universities cut programs who are now going to play football again. By playing football again, do you think those programs that were talked about being cut can be saved?
Yeah, it's a fair question, Sparky. I mean, I can't comment on what went into the decisions at other universities to make those, to reach that conclusion, other than knowing the people that had to make those decisions, I do feel confident in saying, you know, they didn't take those decisions lightly. Those are terrible decisions to have to make. They're the worst case decisions to have to make at this level. We're encouraged by the ability for us to play a season, and clearly that will have an effect. It will be something that our media partners are happy about. That decision wasn't based on, it wasn't a financial decision. There is one reality that, as I'm sitting in my office looking at an empty Camp Randall, you know, we're going to essentially have an empty Camp Randall when we play games. And, you know, for years now, decades, we've enjoyed a full Camp Randall, and the support that has translated into, the financial support that's translated into, in terms of our being able to fund and underwrite the cost opportunity for 700 other student athletes, you know, we still can't get around that. So this will make it so alleviate some of the financial strain, but it won't eliminate the financial strain that we'll be faced with. And, you know, we continue to make tough decisions here. We've got all kinds of furloughs and salary reductions, and we've scaled back, you know, some of our operating budgets. But and we'll continue to do that because we'll be forced to do that. But that's just the reality of college athletics right now.
Chris, I guess my follow-up to that would be, you know, when we talk about, say, the Milwaukee Brewers, and when they talk about their revenue streams and so forth, they talk about, yeah, look, we don't have a big TV deal. We're in Milwaukee. We don't have a big radio deal. We're in Milwaukee. Like, our payroll is based and set up based on fan attendance from the previous year and what we think we're going to get that upcoming season. And that's really what drives us more than anything else. In larger markets, you don't necessarily have that same deal because their TV deals are much larger. So from a college sports perspective, from Wisconsin's perspective, you know, he talks about $100 million, you know, is half of that TV revenue money now you get, or what percentage of the pie is that TV money that you are able to recuperate because you're playing and get the TV money?
Why are you asking all these personal questions, Steve?
it's a fair question.
No, it ain't. Ain't none of his business, man. But go on and answer it, though.
Yeah.
I'm just having fun.
You know, listen, the media revenue that'll be realized from this will be a fraction of the challenge that Barry laid out, the $100 million challenge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our financials are publicly available, and there's no, I'm not trying to be coy, but this isn't our playing an 8-game schedule plus one, it isn't the silver bullet solution to our financial challenges. It will help. It will help. And we're hoping to be able to cobble together a few other options that can help us get through this. But the reality is, you know, if you think about what happens at a football game on a Camp Randall Saturday and everything that happens around our stadium, and all the concessions that are consumed during those games, all of that revenue, it's just not going to happen this year. And so, you know, we've been bracing for this for, you know, the better part of 6 months now and preparing for it. And thankfully, the way, you know, Coach has his philosophy on managing our resources, you know, we're not frivolous with our resources, and we're not investing into the, you know, the newest, flashiest facility, and we've been relatively conservative with our resources, and that's allowed us to be in a position where, you know, we don't have to make quick decisions. We're trying to make thoughtful decisions, the difficult ones, but, you know, we're trying to find our way through this like everybody else is.
All right, I'm not done yet. Chris McIntosh, Deputy Athletic Director at UW-Madison, joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Let's transition into college basketball now and what that looks like as far as it starting up, as far as students eventually being in stands there, maybe later in the season, if not in the beginning of the season, and how that whole thing shapes up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some developments in college basketball. You know, November 25th is the soonest we can get started playing games. You know, our program is very happy to hear that. Clearly, you know, some of the same developments that I made reference to in football have had an effect on basketball and made folks feel comfortable moving forward. You know, whether we're going to have fans in the stands for basketball or students in the stands for basketball remains to be seen. You know, one of the things that we've all learned from this COVID-19 pandemic is, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to try to predict you know, a few months ahead. You know, it's been a pretty humbling experience, and it's hard to predict what Monday's going to look like. And so, you know, we've been abiding by and following, you know, the advice and the counsel of our public health officials here in Dane County and our university, and collaborating with them. And, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there in terms of fans and in the Kohl Center. I sure hope we're in a position where that's a reality. Obviously, everybody does, including our team, because that's a great environment, but it's just too early to even have an opinion on that.
You know, you talk about furloughs and, you know, people losing their jobs, but I would think that right now the medical staff is probably at its, you know, toughest to be. Have you guys, have you added any more medical staff, or what does that look like for them? And how does all this testing, does it go through the university hospital over there? How does all the testing protocols work for you guys?
Yeah, it's a good point, Gary. You know, so our sports med staff has been working around the clock. And right. while, you know, there are aspects of our operation that have been relatively dormant because of the reality of the situation, they're not one of them. And actually, we've had to help that staff, and we've had to get creative. You know, there's all kinds of duties and tasks around testing that don't require medical professionals. And it's actually given us the opportunity to put some other staff to work that aren't even in or around sports med, but more administrative and facilitative on our testing days. And so, but those tests have been going well, and we have worked with our university health services partners here on campus, and our doctors get the results, and you know they're treated like a medical diagnostic test, like they should be, and they've got a strict protocol that is put in place and adhered to once we have a positive case.
Yes, Chris McIntosh, Deputy Athletic Director at UW-Madison. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Always appreciate you joining the Wendy's Big Show.
All right, happy to join you guys. Take care.
Thanks, bud.
Take care. There he is, Chris McIntosh on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's your passion outgrowing your home. Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Another business that's been around for a while is the Jewelry Center, Gary.
Yeah, well, talk about my good friends over at the Jewelry Center. Three locations for you, 476 in Layton Plaza in Brookfield off Blue Mountain Road, and Tri-City National Bank building, guys, in a third location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin. Go check my good friend Dean Murray out today. He's the owner, guys. I'm sending you right to the head of the class. Dean Murray's the owner. When you walk in the door, you tell Dean that you heard this from the Big Show or Gary or Sparky or Leroy Butler or soon to be in the Hall of Fame. Most certainly he was a finalist last year, so hope we can get him in there. If you say that you heard this on the Big Show, you're going to get a significant discount on anything that you buy in the store. And Dean will honor that. He's just a great guy. If you're looking for that diamond ring and you're looking to propose to your girl, well, try the Jewelry Center. Leroy Butler did. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer did.
Sure did.
Gary Ellerson did. And they will work within your budget. Leroy talks about budget all the time. I tell you
all
this about
time.
Leroy Butler. He is on the budget. It's the tightest joke I ever seen in my life. So if Leroy Butler can't afford it, so can you. Go check
That's
him
true.
Out today. It is Dean
true.
Murray at the Jewelry Center.
Coming up next, we'll talk about some of what Chris McIntosh had to say. We got people on hold that want to talk about it as well. If you want to jump aboard, your thoughts on Chris McIntosh and his comments here on the Wendy's Big Show, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Larry in Belgium, Wisconsin starts things off next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.